This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We cover all kinds of things around the Umpqua Valley, but we have a session of the Oregon State Legislature still going, so we're checking in frequently with local lawmakers that represent parts or all of Douglas County to see what is going on. State Senator David Brock-Smith joining us live from Salem. David, thanks for being on today.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Now, first of all, let's talk about the release you put out yesterday, legislation passing the Senate on Tuesday regarding illegal marijuana grows. That's definitely been an issue. Talk about getting this legislation through.
Been working on this legislation for a couple of sessions now, Kyle. It's actually a legislative concept brought to me by Douglas Commissioner Chris Boyce, and really appreciate his efforts and testimony. Senate Bill 347 looks to end the special tax assessment for landowners that have illegal marijuana grows. As you know, this is a huge problem throughout the state, but especially in Southwest Oregon. And a huge burden on our public safety and law enforcement. And that's essentially what the bill does, if you are found with a illegal marijuana grow on your property, and this is, special assessments on farmland, forest land, then you will lose that special assessment. There are off-ramps, so to speak, that we made sure were in the bill. As an analogy of Gladys, who has, 500 acres, doesn't realize that somebody has something going on an acre in the back of her land, and she's just frankly unaware, then they're okay. But many times and in many cases, you have the cartels that will bring landowners bags of cash, so to speak, and to ask them to look the other way. There's over 2,500, I think, is the last number of hoop houses, and they are illegal hoop houses growing illegal marijuana in Josephine and Jackson counties alone. My colleague Senator Robinson, who represents a large swath of Josephine County, said in his press release, in our joint press release yesterday, they are, of course, not only are they growing illegal marijuana, but they're also have the human trafficking element associated with it, and using fresh water that needs to go to our farmers and ranchers, if anything. So we're in a situation where I'm just glad that we finally got this done. Again, appreciate Douglas County Commissioner Boyce for his efforts in this concept, and I look forward to getting a hearing in House Revenue. Hopefully this first part of next week, and we'll move forward and get it to the governor for her signature.
I know in the past we've had these in Douglas County. I've looked at some of the pictures. They could be rather staggering, and along with things that wouldn't pass DEQ muster if they were legal going on. Also, the living conditions sometimes of the folks that were working at those places look fairly horrific.
They are horrific. I mean, they're literally sleeping, if they're lucky, on a piece of cardboard using a bucket as a lavatory, Kyle. Not to mention, I mean, these individuals, a lot of them are, of course, undocumented individuals that are looking to, for work, and they're picked up. They are taken to these facilities, these illegal grows. They are, their identification and or any of their, you know, documents are taken from them. Their families are then threatened, either undocumented here in Oregon, United States, or back in Mexico. I could tell you horror stories of individuals that and bodies that have been found. When we have infiltrated some of these illegal grows, especially in Josephine and Jackson counties, I did have another piece of legislation in this line where we wanted to create a drug enforcement and human trafficking division, special division within the Oregon State Police. It did not move, unfortunately, out of Senate Judiciary. But the human trafficking element is absolutely atrocious when it comes to especially these cartel-driven illegal grows in Southwest Oregon. And this is just one step to assist in stopping that from occurring, because when these willing landowners go ahead and allow this to occur, they are complicit. And this is a way to discourage them from doing that.
Now, there's so much disagreement between Republicans and Democrats on so many issues. Very rarely does something pass the chamber unanimously. Did you have any initial opposition to this?
Yes. I mean, there was, like I said, I brought this legislation before, and it didn't go anywhere. I think with the when I brought this forward this session, I really stressed on the human trafficking element of these illegal grows that is gaining a brighter light shine on it. And just to your point, actually, Kyle, there's a number of pieces of legislation that we. In fact, probably over 95% of the legislation that we pass is unanimous, for the most part, in the legislative session. The big issues, you know, when it comes to land use, when it comes to property rights, when it comes to citizens' rights, when it comes to the issues that are important to us conservative Republicans versus that Democrat majority are not. This issue, I think, with, the focus on the illegal grows and its impact to the human trafficking element was compelling. And so the majority party decided not only to support it, but they also, Senator Pham, signed on as a sponsor from Portland. So I appreciate it. I'm hoping for the same outcome in the House, and we'll be pressing on that as soon as I as soon as we can. I'll just stop there for now.
Well, as well, if it gets through the House, gets the governor's signature, how soon would it go into effect?
About 90 days. After Sonny died.
All right. So other things related to this legislation you want to mention?
Well, no. I just have there's another piece of legislation that that we've moved through. We've talked about it before, also unanimous. We passed it through the Senate on the 20th of May. It has a public hearing in House Avenue today, and that is Senate Bill 485. Which is a tax exemption for our small woodland owners, which in Senate District 1 has the most concentration of any other district in the state. It modifies the taxable income with regards to their estate tax that will be exempt from the estate tax of $15 million. We passed the base bill in 2023. But it did not have it was for farmland as well. So that, we need to overhaul the estate tax in this state anyway. But when it comes to farm and forest land, it's critically important that they are not burdened with that asset when it is transferred because of, course, the death of the family. And so it is family members, right? And so it is critically important for our small woodland owners for that to fix. And we're in a situation where the criteria for that was more geared towards farmland and not foresters. And this fixes that problem. I had the opportunity a few months ago to speak at the Small Woodlands Association breakfast at their annual meeting here in Salem. They brought this up as an issue. I had a piece of legislation already that could be used. And we've been working together, of course, on that issue. And I'm glad to see that we are moving it forward. Again, chair of the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue, Senator Meek, signed on as the chief sponsor, understanding the issue. And it is a bipartisan bill that, again, passed unanimously. Look forward to the public hearing today at 1:30 and get it moved out of the committee and to the floor.
All right, going to take a break, talk more about hot topics in Salem as we've got a few remaining days, but not many, for the Oregon State Legislature. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow, the district head of the Douglas Forest Protective Association, district manager Pat Scripp, will be on Inside Douglas County to talk about fire season, which begins on Friday locally. State Senator David Brock Smith. David, how many days remain in this session of the Oregon State Legislature?
25 days, Kyle.
25 days left. What are some of the hot topics right now in Salem?
Well, right now, the House is debating Senate Bill 916. They have for quite some time this morning. They're still on the minority report. The minority report is when you have the minority party, the Republican, submit an alternative bill for a piece of legislation that is being moved by the majority. Senate Bill 916 is a horrible bill. It would it would allow for a public employee unions to collect unemployment while they go on strike. And so if you think about that, the public employee unions do not pay into the unemployment insurance benefit program. Those funds come from private employers and, of course, their workers. They are, this would, you know, could potentially devastate school districts. If you have a situation where in 2023, for example, we funded education greater than we had before, and then the Portland Public Schools District went on strike, it could cost millions to those school budgets that then would have to backfill the unemployment insurance fund that is being used to pay those individuals that are not only collecting that unemployment benefit, but they have, you know, negotiated within their union to have resources and or payments as well when they're on strike. So it's almost like a double dip that is an unfunded mandate for those school districts. It was amended in the House. Because they were, frankly, not truthful on some things that they said that were in the bill that they did finally put in the bill in the House. And so it does have to come back for concurrence, which means that the bill has to come back to the Senate floor if it does pass out of the House. And so we have another bite. We did get two Democrats to vote against the bill originally when it did move off the Senate floor. And that was Senator Golden and Senator Solman. As you know, we're in a supermajority, so that only allows us, we have 12 Republicans and there's 18 Democrats in the Senate. So that was a 16-14 vote. If we can get one more Democrat to oppose the bill, and it does not get the majority of 16 votes, then we might have a chance. And so we're following that closely and seeing what is going to happen there in the House this afternoon.
We've talked so much about the Oregon Department of Transportation, the proposals for various taxes, but it is a hot topic. Any movement there?
No. In fact, there's not even a department. There's not even a transportation committee meeting this week scheduled so far that I have seen. You're in a situation where both the House and Senate Republicans put forth a plan with over $600 million in cuts to those to the Department of Transportation to help assist with their budget shortfall and saving money. In fact, you had the House member and part of the transportation, the vice chair of Transportation Committee, Representative Shelley Bossart-Davis, went to ODOT's headquarters and videoed where you have these office buildings that don't have anybody in them. And there could be a benefit in leasing or renting out that space to generate revenue. There's lots of opportunities that we can move forward with when it comes to transportation. To that vein, I want to give a shout out to the Umpqua Public Transit District folks that won their election in the last election, in the special district election in May. Look forward to working with them for UPTD and our residents. But there has not have been any movement. Of course, I'm not on the Transportation Committee. Senator Starr is, and Senator Weber are on the Transportation Committee. And as soon as we have an update, again, we're getting down to the wire, 25 days left of session. I don't know where they're going to go, considering there's not a lot of time left. And we've been pretty steadfast on not raising taxes.
Is it possible, with just a few days remaining, that some of the legislation, maybe many pieces of legislation, are going to essentially be left on the cutting room floor?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, there's over 400 or 600, I think, pieces of legislation. No, 400 in the Joint Ways and Means Committee. I'm happy to serve on that committee. Policy is my very policy focused, and budgets are policy choices. And so there will be a lot of those pieces of legislation that don't get out of that committee. Of course, we had the second chamber deadline a few Fridays ago, as I mentioned. And so a lot of bills died there. There is only a few committees like Senate and House Revenue, Finance and Revenue, the new Joint Transportation Committee, and the House and Senate Rules Committees that's still alive. And so there are still pieces of legislation that could potentially be that are on those committees and still can move forward. We're tracking those. We just discussed it in caucus this morning when it comes to the Senate Rules Committee. And we're preparing and doing what we can with the relationships that we have and the low numbers that we have to stop bad bills that we know are going to hurt not only Oregonians, but also the members of our districts.
Now, we've talked about this also a number of times, but it still seems like it's hanging out there as something to keep an eye on with all the federal changes in funding, all the cuts that have been going on. You've seen any more information about how federal money to the state of Oregon might be reduced, requiring then the state to revamp plans or cut plans or whatever?
Well, yeah. We're in a situation where, as I've said before, we're nearing $37 trillion in debt. federally. The state of Oregon relies on roughly a third of our budget from the federal government. A lot of that is health care. Again, a lot of that in health care is Medicaid reimbursements. We leverage our dollars for federal dollars, usually some, you know, 1 to 4, 1 to 7. You saw Governor Newsom, in fact, of California, a few weeks ago, come out and say they need to curtail the health insurance, health care for undocumented individuals within California. And it's a conversation that we've been having and continue to have here in Oregon. We spend over $800 million on health care for undocumented Oregonians. Well, they're not Oregonians, and individuals that are living undocumented in Oregon. And so when we're talking about these budget cuts, let's say, there's an additional roughly $3.6 billion in revenue that came from Oregonians. But the roll-up costs associated with government agencies are out of control. And so I know in talking with Co-Chair Lieber, they've cut over $500 million in CSL. But there's going to be, it's going to come to a head. We cannot continue funding and being everything to everyone.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check in again next Thursday. State Senator David Brock Smith, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.